is helped more so than the sponsee may even think in the growth. And I think it's been 6-7 years that I've been honored to sponsor Robert W. When he first asked me, he said he had to work the steps and he had a sponsor and simply said that his desire was to grow more emotionally and spiritually. What he saw, only God knows, and he's given me just a small glimpse of it, and that is what he saw in me. So it's an honor, it's a privilege to work with Robert. It's my hope, it's my prayer that as he shared what it was like, what is happening, what it's like today, that you guys will really listen to him, because he knows. But he'll get started in one place, and before finishing it, goes another place. And that place is in the literature. So without further ado, I'd like to present Robert W.
Every time I do this, I get kind of nervous. But anyway, my name is Robin Grave Cover Addict. It's good to be here. It's good to be sober. You know, I was told when two or three are gathered, you know, I'm here to share what it was like and what happened, what it was like now, kind of briefly. It's kind of, like you said, it's true. You know, I get to sharing and I just be there. You know, What it was like for me was, see, when I went into the fourth step, when I started writing down stuff, I wanted to go all the way back because I wanted to stay sober, not just get sober. So I went to my mom and I asked her what was going on with me. When I was born, I was stiff when I came in this world, when I was first born. And I had a sickness. Didn't nobody know what it was. The doctor gave me up. They sent me home. I was dark, I was blacker than this thing right here, standing straight up on my feet when I first came to this, out of the womb. So what they did was they sent me to, my grandma sent me to an Indian doctor. And I don't know what he did to me, but he did something because I'm still here. But see, the thing about it is, I had a lot of energy, a whole lot of energy. I mean, I'm the one that's growing up, because see, I came from a family when I first moved to Memphis, you know, my mom always kept, you know, my dad was in and out, but my mom, she kept us in the house, like five brothers and one sister. Well, on my dad's side, I got a lot of my other brothers and sisters. But in that household, we used to sing a lot. You know, just do a lot of singing and stuff and playing with each other. We never fight. Every time we step out the door, somebody wanted to fight us, she told us, don't fight. And I was the one. You know, I'd be hearing about dysfunction and all that. It really didn't seem dysfunctional to me because she kept a roof up out here, kept food on the table, you know, all that old stuff right there. And I didn't know I was bird watching. See, I used to play with fire, you know, burn stuff up. And you know, back in them days, you know, the food stamps was like in the book. I used to get all the food stamps. You know, I'm talking about when I was young, growing up about 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. At first I get a $65 book, then I go splurge it, buy candy all day, and go get the rest of it. That's what I was doing. I was thieving at that time and playing with fire. When somebody come, I can remember when somebody knocked on the door when I was playing with fire. You know, burn cats up. You know, I'm just burning stuff up. And I threw it up on the bed. You know, this is my story. Somebody knocked on the door and I just threw the fire up on the bed and burnt the bed up, you know, almost burnt the house up. But I was getting whoopings though. And I was the one that was always off to a step, because see, my brother Susie, see, I'm gonna share with you where this isolation came from. you know, always to myself. Sometimes it happens today. They should talk about my color, you know, and smack me upside the head. I never put my hands on nobody. And even my brothers, my siblings, they used to pick on me all the time, hit me all the time. I didn't want to. So I free time in them last days when they were doing it, I started getting angry. I didn't know how to control my anger. Matter of fact, I ain't really had nobody help me to control nothing. So what I did, I was just trying to hurt somebody. I'm talking about my brother and sister, I just tried to hurt them. I didn't know. But I always used to watch, my daddy was a potential alcoholic. Well, he died of a corroded liver, you know, drunk himself to death. And so they always tell me, Rob, don't be like your daddy. But I used to, I had 10 folks used to come to Memphis and visit, and everybody drinking and smoking and just having a good time. And but I was isolated. See, I'm isolated around about 9, 10 years old. So I got a job about 11, when I was 11 years old, I got a job. I was selling watermelons. I can remember, I just selling watermelons, then I went in the store, and when I came back out, I was lost. And now see, this leading up to, now, I'm not racist, but I, you know, when my brothers would talk about me and smack me around and all that, and when I got lost, being 11 years old, a white guy picked me up. I didn't like black folks no more. Because I mind you. No, I mind you. I'm already getting hit on at home in the household with my brother and sister. So I ain't like black folks. My best friend was a little white guy in school in the first grade. And I needed an outlet. My outlet was drawing. I could draw. So, well, all my grades, I was first in my class in drawing. But me and this white guy, we took the liking to each other because we used to like to draw. We used to be little comic books. So I was a comic book freak back then. That played out because I lit my comic books out. They didn't give them back to me. See, that, it just, every time something happened like that, it make me dislike black folks even more. You know what I mean? But, hey, I'm serious though. So as grown, you know, when I started growing up, I always had a job. I'm always working. A homeboy, not a homeboy out in the street, but a homeboy that always stayed at home with mom. You know, younger siblings, they grew up, got married, got kids and all that. And I'm still at home with mom, but I always work. I didn't know how to manage my money, but I was always working. So I used to watch my older kin folks do a lot of drinking and having fun. I didn't have no fun, but I was watching them. So when I got about 16 years old, I wanted to taste what they was tasting, what they was doing. I didn't like the effect. I mean, they sure said it's their solution. I mean, in the doctor's opinion. I didn't like the effect that it produced, but I sure liked the way it made me feel. And I wanted more, so what I do, I sneak around and get in there to the group. And that's how my, you know, I'm an addict, but when I diagnose myself, I'm also an alcoholic. I don't know if that made any sense or not, because I know this is a CA, but I'm an alcoholic too. Anything that made me feel good. And I can remember when I started going to school and all that, I made the team and everything, baseball, football, everything. I made the team, but that was it. I was in fear. Fear set in again. Isolation set in again. This isolation rolled with me throughout my whole little life and growing up. And so when I came of age, something started happening. I want to get high because that made me feel good. That takes me away from that isolation. I'm gradually starting liking black folks. Gradually, because I'm telling you the truth, because I know some of y'all who've been around me, I'm a real quiet person. So I, you know, I'm watching you. I'm not just being quiet. I'm very reservative. I'm watching the movements, because it was a lot of I was being taunted when I was young and growing up. See, all this lasted into my teen years. Then I came up with another problem. See, I was taught to be mindful of the time. When I share my story, you know, it's not complex. Because I was the type of person, like I said, when I first started living, when this Indian doctor gave me life, I was always moving around doing stuff. So my life was going pretty fast. I can remember when I got into school, why is everybody doing their homework or whatever? I'm looking out the window, you know, just looking at the cars and trees. So why is everybody? Whenever it's time to get ready to pass the class, I pass. But other than that, I ain't paying no attention to the teacher. I ain't paying no attention to who's sitting in front of me, the back of me, or the side of me. I just wasn't paying attention. But when it came time to pass, I passed. I can remember when I took a gun to school. I guess I felt intimidated. I had an old army gun, you know. I stuck it down in my pants, and you know, at the end of the day, it kind of fell out, and it really didn't. I mean, I'm talking about one of the big. It had a long burn, you know, and it fell out of my. And I didn't do that no more. I didn't try that anymore. And I'm just showing you how that I didn't let the teachers in. I didn't let my mom in. Out of all those years, my mom didn't really know nothing about me. She knew I was her son. She really didn't know nothing about me. Because whatever I was doing, and I was a practical joker. You know, I'd throw at cars, like get up on a hill and throw at police cars, it didn't matter. And put a bucket of water on the door, and when somebody walked through it, bucket of water falling on the hill. You know, just a little funny. People loved being around me. But I wasn't very communicative. I was just doing little stuff, you know, to make people laugh. Because I wanted to be accepted. I want that sense of belonging. So that worked for a little while. But I always went back to drinking. And then my two older brothers, when they came in the house with some drugs. Now I'm really curious now. They kept it away from me, but I kept insisting. So they let me taste it. And it didn't taste good. I didn't know about no allergy or no obsession or nothing. But when I look back, I was obsessed over five. I was a five boy. I do know that. It's just that obsession turned into something else. I can remember when they started to feed me them drugs, you know, and I wanted it. And they go to bed and go to sleep, and I still wanted more. I still wanted some more. I didn't know how to develop that. I didn't know how to develop that allergy. That's all I wanted to do now. I mean, I couldn't even, at that time, I'm really working now. I got real jobs now, but I couldn't keep no job. I could always go and get a job, but I couldn't keep a job. So the thing is, so you know, and one of the something they're saying is sloth. I mean, procrastinating, lazy. So I tried to be lazy. See, I never was. I told you I was energetic, had a lot of energy. So I tried to be lazy, like my other brothers. They were getting high and laying around the house, ain't doing nothing. They had a lot of women. But I didn't try that. I didn't get all that. I wasn't no pimp. I looked that word up, pimp. I looked it up. And if I'd have shared it, they probably wouldn't have liked it. But basically what I'm saying is, once I started indulging in getting high, getting drunk or whatever you want to call it, it did something for me, but it really didn't. Because see, now I'm seeing myself losing jobs. And then insanity started to kick in. See, when I studied the literature, stuff was going on with me. I see it in the literature. That, I can remember. I used to love being around my older brother because he didn't want to talk me how to box. See, I don't know how to fight. I'll tell you right now, I don't know how to fight. But my outlet was, I went up and took martial arts. I took up martial arts for a little while. So I didn't know how to fight. So. But I took that for discipline, not just to go and chop somebody's head off or anything. I took it for discipline, and it worked. And like I said, my years went kind of fast because I was moving around fast, doing a lot of stuff fast. You know, I take a lot of stuff out the house. Even I'm talking about when I was young, and I sit at the dinner table like I ain't did nothing. I'm eating, trying to carry on a conversation. When I did talk, I guess I ain't give a heck what they was thinking. I ain't want to see how they were looking at me. I done took the TV out the house, and I'm sitting at the dinner table eating and trying to carry on a conversation. But I was feeling something. I wasn't feeling them good vibes. Basically, what I'm saying was, I don't know where did I cross that line of addiction, but I do know this right here. When I got 21, up to going to 22, I had got a really good job. I started working for the city. And I kind of slowed up, but I still wanted to get high. And I kept getting high. And now I get paid that good money. Thursday, Friday morning, I'm broke. So there's something wrong with that. It kept happening. Then I found out they had a loan shark. Now I can really stay broke because this loan shark gonna supply me whatever kind of money I needed. So they popped the drug test on me. I failed the drug test. I passed the drug test first time. I don't know how I passed it. So I kept doing what I was doing. God had to be in the midst somewhere. And so I guess they got tired of it. So they popped the test on me again. I lost that job. And my grandma, it made her, she wanted to do something to me. Because she told me Dr. Martin Luther King died for this job, and I'm up here getting high, losing the job. And I'm going to tell you something. I can remember. See, when I went through the steps, it helps, you know, the God conscious thing was going on. And I can remember. See, I wanted to get sober this time. That's why when I started digging off into all those character defects, I wanted to bring everything. I wanted to bring everything. I wanted to stay sober. Because I didn't know I was doing some dangerous stuff. I thought it was okay. I can remember when I went to the house, I was sitting in the car, and I had just lost this job. Do you know what I was thinking about? I had a few dollars left to go get me something to get high. That's what I was thinking about. Just lost a job for the city. Now, I'm 22 years old. Around by this time, I could have been retired. That's all I was thinking. And I went and got me something. That's what I did. And I'm going to tell you something. It was disgusting. Because that little old bit of feel good, little high went away, it was just disgusting. I didn't feel good at all. Now reality kicking in. What my grandmama said and what just happened, I lost the job, and then now I've got to sell the car, get me some more money. And I'm going to tell you something. I was talking to Sherry about me. So I'm always trying to find something to make me feel good because I don't like the way I was feeling. And I know I heard that throughout the room. Now I know what y'all are talking about. I want to do something to cover up those feelings. Because like I said, I was isolated. So I kept doing what I was doing. Pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization. That hit me to the teeth. Because see, I can remember when I kept taking out the house, kept taking from my mom, I just kept taking from it. I'm going to tell you something, I was a clicked old maniac. You know how a person be planning to take something and write down it on paper and all that? I just go and take it. It was no remorse. No, I didn't think. I'd be walking down the street and I see something that I want, I just go and get it. I used to do things, stuff in front of the police. I did not care. I had got to that point. Because I remember I was I was walking down the street and I got this couch and stuff. I put it on a basket. I used to do this stuff by myself. Because I just told you I had a little strength from growing up. And police seen me about 2 something in the morning. I got this big, pretty couch on the basket because I always had people buy stuff from me because I did, when I get, what you call it, spring, sprung, and spook. When I get like that there, oh yes, well, actually it's a pattern for me. That police stopped me and asked me where I get it from. You know, you be kind of frantic, and, you know, that time of morning with done couch on a basket. And that's why I can relate to the people that I see now. With couches on baskets and stuff. I could relate to them. So what he did, I got to talk at that time my lips went twisting. The thing was falling off the basket and he helped me to put it back on the basket and then I started talking to him. So he let me go. I mean, it was kind of funny because, I made a lot of police mad in my days, but they never put their hands on me. I don't know why they must have felt the helplessness. The only thing I want to do is just take some stuff. I ain't want to hurt nobody. I just want to take your stuff and go on about my business. That's all I want to do. I ain't want to do no talking. So I can remember when my drug addiction got so bad. See, I was homeless, helpless, hopeless on the inside. Eventually, it manifests itself on the outside. Eventually. Because I'm still staying with my mom, hopeless and helpless. I'm still staying with her, eating her food and doing all that old stuff, taking her stuff, being in their face like I ain't did nothing, all that. So eventually, I went where the homeless people's at. And one of the best places I went to was downtown, right there at Evanston. Very good spot for me. I had became homeless. But I can always go back to the house. My mom still loved me. But it had got a time I didn't want to go there because every time I go there, I take stuff. And she thought I was just taking from her. So I had to explain to her, I'm taking from anybody. What's up? No, I had to really explain to her, I'm not just taking from you. I went into 201 Papa taking stuff. It didn't matter to me. So I can remember, I'm standing there. Now, I'm going to show you how to delude. I'm standing in the soup line. We got a line for him behind the running with a different dumpster. Now I'm standing in the line with my little, we got the little plates out the dumpster, forks and spoons and all that. And I'm saying to myself, I'm not like that. There's something wrong with it. You know, I had to abide by the rules, you know, the homies rules. I'm standing in the line with this dirty plate with forks and stuff, waiting to get something to eat out the dip the dumpster. In my mind, I'm like, I'm not like that. Ain't nothing wrong with me. Well, I really hadn't got to that point there, but I realized I was like that. Because I kept becoming homeless, kept laying, sleep behind empty buildings, sleeping inside the empty buildings. I could remember cardboard boxes was my home. Because I didn't want to do right at home. Not because I did it purposefully. It was something they didn't know. I didn't know something was going on with me. I didn't know nothing about no disease. I didn't know I accumulated that disease a long time ago. But what happened was when I got so far out there with my I had two oldest brothers. Well, on my daddy's side, I got like five brothers and four sisters on my daddy's side. But on this side, one of my brothers got killed by a deputy sheriff right there. And I was with him that night. And they told us don't try to pursue it, told you. Don't mess with that. So that made me angry. Well, right up in there, I'm still working for the city. I'm still doing, trying to do the right thing, going to church and everything. I grew up going to church, sneaking to church. So that made me angry. All this anger was, it wasn't coming out, it was going in. 4 months later, my brother was wrapped up in this Jack Orange stuff back in the early 90s and stuff, you know. Now, how in the world can you drive up in a neighborhood, what y'all call it, them kind of neighborhoods, you know, we stayed on Faxon. My brother pulled up in the driveway in a limousine. I ain't working. I ain't got no job. He pulled up in the driveway in a limousine. He was working for the police. But see, he got tired of doing that, so what they did, they set him up, and they sent him to prison. So he got killed in prison. That's about 4 months. Now, I'm not even through grieving over this. This happened. Now, this is the brother that taught me how to play ball and took me to them little classes and all that right there. But he was hating before he got killed. He didn't die. He started to hate on me because I was the only one in the house that always had a job. I always tried to help out the best way I could. And I thank God for that because it carried on into my life now. And I can remember when that happened, I went right. I needed an outlet. I just didn't like the way I was feeling. So what I remember drinking and drugging. So that's what I resorted back to. Now I'm worse than I was. Cause see now when I run out of money, you know I can remember I'm boosting with these women. You know they were doing other stuff, but the way I did it, they must have liked the way I did it, cause they come and get me. I mean they. They really must have liked the way I did. What I do, I go in there and just sequence dresses cost like $8,000 or $9,000 or whatever. I go in there and just do this right here and pick them all up off the rack, off the hook, pick them up like that and run out the store with them. And it was quick. You know, they had it like a diagram, had it written down which way, because they had a case in the junk before I even. So they already knew, they just wanted somebody to do it fast. And by me having a lot of energy, because, you know, all the sports that I played, we went to the state. So I had a lot of speed and energy. And I used that to my advantage in my addiction. That's what I did. You be standing up there talking to me, I just walk away. I'm talking about you might be think you got it going on in a conversation, I walk away. You know, like you really got it going on. I mean, you could have it going on. I just didn't care to hear it, you know what I'm saying? But basically what I'm saying, I'm talking about this progressing disease. Hey, you got so bad. I ain't know nothing about, you know, coming back from the powerful. I ain't know nothing about that. Yeah. I ain't know nothing about that. But, so when I can remember back in 1987, when I hit a bottom, see, I hit a lot of bottoms. So it's a bottom that I hit. It was my mom. The last time I can remember, I took that rent money. And she said, Robert, I let you back in the house, you take the money. I said, okay. I walked off. But they stayed with me. That was that bottom, emotional bottom. So I went back to doing what I was doing. And one day, guy asked me that I want to go to treatment. I told him, yeah. So I went to the Harbor House, still doing what I wanted to do. I'm just in a safe environment. So I didn't work on no character defects. My thinking was still the same. So I completed that, and then I went back and got high again. So but between 97 and 89, something happened again. And I always shudder and say, it's in their solution about this vital spirit experience. You know, I need to rearrange and adjust my life, my feelings, the emotion, everything needs to be changed. But I couldn't do it by myself because I always, I'm just talking about me, I'm not the one that run in and out the treatment. You know, I'm gonna do it all the way. So what I did was, back in 89, I tried treatment again because something had to happen to my life. I ain't talking about just come in and get sober and not do nothing. It's some things that I really, because I got the knowledge of the program when I went to the Harbor House. So when I came back this time in 99, when I hit that bottom, you know, it talks about that, it insisted that AA must hit bottom first. NACA, I must hit bottom first. When I hit that bottom was still with me when I went in treatment, on through and halfway house and all that. And her up got me a sponsor. I started studying the literature before I even got me a sponsor. Because it says the answers in the book. And once I found the answer in the book, I still needed, you gotta understand, I wouldn't allow another man to tell me nothing. But I tell you what, you hit that certain bottom, somebody gonna tell you something. And I allowed this man to help me. Matter of fact, it just wasn't me. It was just that beat down that I experienced. And it started working. I wanted to go through the steps. I wanted to do the whole process because I took myself through the steps in 97. It didn't work. So this time, that obsession came and got me. But this time, I worked with a sponsor. And I'm the type of person, I don't want just no inner sponsor. So this sponsor, you know, he got me working with his sponsorees. Then when I could afford to help somebody else. And so he just told me he couldn't do it. So what I did, that's when I asked God to help me. And he put this guy in front of me. And I knew of him back in 87, listening to his story. Because, see, I ain't forget that personality stuff. I'm saying something, I'm saying, this is what I need. I need a sponsor that ain't going to play with me. Just tell me like it is. It ain't got to be a long version. Because I'm a real addict. You know, all that old conversation and stuff. Just tell me exactly what I need to do, where I need to go. And it worked, one day at a time. I don't know how my time frame is because I kind of got a director in front of me right now. But anyway, when I went through the steps, I'm gonna show this and sit down. When I went through the steps, on page 107, 106 and 107, it talks about I'm gonna get a spirit awakening. I got that spirit awakening, but it also told me on 107, the top of the page, that I'm gonna get a new consciousness and being, and things really gonna work for me now because. It's something that I ain't got to master or endure. I'm going to get a certain degree of honesty, tolerance, and love, and unselfishness. And I believe that. Now, when I go to page 84, now I'm going to say this. I got to share this with him because it's part of my life. Now, when I go to 84, it talks about when those things crop up. So that means if I'm still operating off self and self-centered and all that right there, that means ain't nothing got to crop up. But it says when I do the steps, because I got to continue to do the work, I'm going to get a degree because I ain't know what love is. I thought love is that I give you a little money and then you're going on about your business. I thought that was love. I ain't know nothing about no emotional love. But like I just said, you get that, you hit a sufficient bottom that's sufficient enough for you for recovery, like what I hit. And I hope to God that's what it was. I really do. I'm not the one that said, drinking drugs is not my problem, though. It's still my problem. Because in Bill's theory, it tells me it's appalling to alcoholics or addicts if they fail to enlarge and perfect their spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice. And I can't get to those dog spots up in my life. and I drink again, I smoke again. And I don't want to do that today. But the main thing that works in my life, when anything goes, when everything fails or whatever, I mean, when my thinking get in the way, because my thinking do get in the way, my life will be going good. Once my thinking get in the way, it get all screwed up. Because I didn't got out the way of God. But anyway, I'm just Robert. I'm just glad to be here. I got some more time.
Did something come?
Yeah, I'm seeing some movements, and then I try to be mindful of the time. It's just like somebody run me away, run me up out of here. That jug down to my stirrup so quick. I want to make sure I want to be mindful of the time. But my stirrup is true though. I am a real addict, and I didn't get sober to not to be around people that still drinking and drugs. Because I still got an addict mind on page 101. Right where I stayed. Because of the situation I got caught up in. And I went through 107 in the 12th step. I was transformed. So that means I had a transformation in my mind. So I can shake somebody's hand or whatever if they sprung. You know, because I developed twisted lips when I was out there. And I can remember in my last days, I had my lips started twisting. And then my eyes started bucking, my ears started ringing out of my dumb face. And I ain't like that. Out of all that stuff I was going through, that's the only thing I didn't like. Because I was dealing with people. That's the only thing I didn't like. Metamorphosis started changing. Dope boys used to pay me just to see my lip twist. I ain't trying to be funny. Hey, I ain't trying to be funny. I'm telling you the truth. They wake me up out the dumb bed. That when I did get some sleep, and I walk, I can remember this dude's son, his mama down there, and I thought he was gonna actually pull a cape, because I do stuff without remorse. So only thing he wanted to do is see my lip twist. That's all he wanted to see. So he gave me that little stuff, and I did it. My lip started to twisting, and that's all he wanted. Now what he didn't know, I set off that phenomenon of craving. Now I got to go some more, unless you're going to give me some more. See, you got to understand. The reason I said I was bold, I was putting my life at risk. Dope boys would give me dope to sell, I'd run off and smoke and go back and knock on their dope. Now, I don't know how insane that is, but I'm just sharing my story. I don't know about bold or trying to be bad. I just didn't know. But once I got sober, I realized the grace of God was still on me. He had to be on me. It's just like he had something for me to do. And I can also remember I somebody left their keys in the car and I drove the car for all day. And it's just a little stuff. Let me just touch my steering. Because on 459 I can do that. I got the third edition on 459. I just share a little bit and just share a little bit. But what ran me into bank Russell was self / ego. When it started getting dark, I sold that car for $40. And when I got broke, I wanted the car back. Ain't that about the damnest thing? And how insane that is. I really need to get some help. But see, I didn't know how to go about helping. But see, the only thing that really helped me is when I allowed another man to show me how to live. When I open up, I put aside. See, my director taught me to put aside what I think. Now, I really couldn't cope with this. Dumb me up. Keep it simple, stupid. I really don't want nobody to tell me that. Especially when I first came in under the stuff that I was going through. No, don't tell me. Keep it simple, stupid. Because see, I had an anger problem too now. So I don't need nobody in my face telling me to keep it simple, stupid. What my director did, he sent me to a psychiatrist. It's in the book. It's in the book.
Yes, sir.
On page 133, it's in the book. God bless us with doctors, psychiatrists, and nurses and all kinds of stuff. And then it also got twisted thinking. That's why I know my thinking was twisted. You know, I can remember when I came in this time, it's like everything was opening up to me. Really, was opening up to me. Because I had a problem with step two. Now, mind you, I said I wouldn't listen to nobody. But step two did something to me. Let me go to step two. It really did something for me. Hey, man, my phone cutting off, man. What time is it? Yeah. On page 33, we are at the rallying point. Whether you're atheist, agnostic, or a former believer. See, I was a former believer. I know what an atheist is. I know what an agnostic is. But I was, like I said, I grew up in church. I just didn't probably wasn't hearing what they were saying. Therefore, step two, I had a problem with step two, is the rallying point. Rallying means recovery, to retain. That's the point for all of us. Whether it's not the atheist or former belief, we can stand together on this step. True humility and an open mind can lead us to faith. And every AA meeting is an assurance that God will restore us to sanity if we rightly relate ourselves to Him. They say AA meeting is assurance, but when I go to step three, it says something a little different, got a little twist in it. Now I really believe that twist. Because step three kind of tripped me out, because when you take step one 100%, step three got a kickback in it. I'm at the bottom of page 39. More survivors brought about the admission of alcoholism or drug addiction, and by attendance at a few meetings is very good indeed. But is it a bound far cry from permanent sobriety and contented, useful life? Now, when I go to page 34, step three, there, it tells me about step three. If I don't take it step three well and honestly, all the rest of the stuff ain't gonna matter. Now, if you don't understand what I'm saying, I probably need to go and go read it. Because in my heart, I thought I'm sure I took a step one, 100%. But this is what step three tells me. Back in Bill and Bob days, when they sponsored this guy named Bill D, you know, they was sharing the message by the word of mouth back in 1937, before the Big Book was even written. But right now in my life, I don't want to share just the program by the word of mouth. I want to go to the literature. Therefore, I would probably now become done. Gum dropped out of my dumb mouth. Therefore, I would probably now become just as how and but what Pacific means shall we be able to let him in. Because you don't get up at the top, you can have faith and still block God out. Three represents our first attempt to do this. In fact, the effectiveness of the whole AA program will rest upon how well and earnestly we have tried to come to a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. That was the twist with me. Because back in 1987, when I did the steps, you know, on page 40, I need to conform my will with God's will. What I did, my will was going that way. And then I want to go to step four. Did you understand that? You know, I'm supposed to conform my will before I go to step four so He can help me, so He can help me to bring stuff up. But my will went that way. Can you imagine your will going the other way and trying to do the fourth and fifth step? You know, just think about it. It was a total disaster. I told you I was an angry person. Now, I done took it a step further. I probably hurt you then. Because, see, now I'm playing with this program. I did that in 97. I did what I, see, when I was a typical newcomer in 97, I came and did what I wanted to do. I was still angry, still cussing folks out, still didn't want to talk to nobody. But when I came back this time, I was quiet as a church mouse. Something happened. Something happened to me. I needed to change my life. Something needed to happen in my life. Not just stop drinking and drugging. And then my sponsor ran into me one day. You know, I was going through this situation because, you know, he ain't got to talk much. And he said, "Rob, you dead drunk." I said, "What tell me? I ain't had a drink." I was walking around emotionally drunk. And when I go to the bottom of page 88, in step 10, I understand what he said. I was walking around emotionally drunk for 2 or 3 days. And now I got a hangover. They talking about the emotional hangover. Now I got a hangover from being drunk emotionally. And I understood that from yesterday's resentments, anger, or whatever you want to call it. Every time I go to him, he'll tell me to get a pencil and paper and get the book. And that's what I love doing. Because, see, you got to understand, I was I was a nerdy guy growing up. I used to love to read and write and all that. So that worked good on my part, grabbing a book and pencil and paper. That worked real good. So I ain't got no problem picking this up. I had this book in 97, and I shared the other day that when I went back out, I was trying to read the literature while I was sitting there drinking. And I'm gonna tell you something, it don't work. It don't work. Because on page 550, it tells me it don't work. Yeah. You try to drink and work the program, the 12 steps, it's incompatible. It just don't go together, but I tried it. Can you imagine you getting drunk and looking at these, a book like this right here? Hey, mama, what time is it? Huh? You got 10 minutes? Come, my phone went out. Hey, for me, I've been talked about, I understand what envy is. Hey, man, I appreciate you, man, because prior to coming here, man, I went through some stuff just to get here. And what it's like now, God bless me once I'm ready to receive the blessing. And the most beautiful thing for me is me stepping out of self and helping somebody else. And then, you know, like I said, I keep a job. But it ain't about a job, because on my job, when somebody called me, I got recovering people calling me on my job. I always pick up that phone and talk. Hey, man, every job I go to, I tell my boss, man, up front, what I'm dealing with. If you see me on the phone, this is what I'm doing. I said, now, you don't want to hire me, so be it. But I got experience in working, because I growed up working. So I got to, because I used that for my advantage. I get the job, then I do what I want to do. But see, now I got a little old, and now I can't be doing that. I just can't be doing it. Somebody look at me real funny, and I walk off the job. You know, you just stirred me, I'm going to walk off the job. You know, because, you know, I came in, you got to understand, you do know I came in paranoid, though. I mean, I'm real paranoid. You look at me, I'm going to walk off. That's the way I would. But getting that beat down stopped all that. It changed all that. And my life is, I don't know. But I do know this right here. I don't have the desire to drink or drug, even when I go through stuff. Cause if my car catches flat, I go and get it fixed. I don't just, hey, I'm gonna go drink about it. Oh, I think about drinking about it. No. Cause I'm dealing with a disease coming back from powerful. And when it's low, when it's way down there, it's still powerful. So I have to be armed with the facts about myself. And the most insured thing is, it's when I help somebody else, and that feels great. When I help somebody, when this guy called me to do this, I was all over the place. My sponsor kind of had to calm me down too. I mean, I was just all, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to come up here. I just got to talk to people, just try to talk my mind off it. I couldn't sleep. And I don't know. Something, you know what, I'm gonna be honest with you. I think it's about time for me to go sit down. But I don't even know why I'm standing up here. But I do know this right here, by God's grace. Because now I know what true ambition is. On page 124, bottom page 124 and 25, it tells me what true ambition is. Huh? That's living up on a grateful hand of God.
Yes.
Huh? And being useful to somebody else. I'm just glad.
The badge
in on our self-tradition. We are still in the meeting for a second. Hold up. We're going to take about an hour break, and we got the 8 o'clock speaker coming up tonight. We also, after that, we have a comedy show coming up. Make sure that nobody's parking out underneath the...